Hi, folks, and welcome to the show. My name is Tim Small. My guest today is Hugo Feltzman. If you've spent any time over the last year getting lost in the resonant, haunting ring of a lap steel guitar, you've likely been listening to Hugo Feltzman. His latest record, These Fears Are Not Our Fears, has become a sort of companion for a lot of us since it dropped in 2025, a roadmap for navigating the anxieties we carry. Today, we're sitting down to talk about the afterlife of that record, the grit of the Western Cape music scene, and why these fears don't actually belong to us. Hugo, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm really excited to talk about your latest record, but first off, I'd like to find out a little bit more about the style of music that you play, because I believe you're very passionate about Americana and blues music, and your style is rooted in, I would say, alternative folk songwriting, heavily influenced by your finger-picking technique that you developed when you were training as a classical guitarist at the Stellenbosch Conservatorium.
Yeah, that's correct, man. Yeah, so I think my roots kind of stem from the blues and stuff as a kid learning the guitar. But a title that I really like that someone just once threw at me is kind of alternative folk. I feel that's like a nice title to capture kind of my love for Americana and experimenting outside of that into, you know, more kind of traditional singer-songwriting stuff. Yeah, I started there, and then later in life, around about 16, I did classical guitar. And yeah, that was a great learning experience for me. I really developed my right-hand technique, which actually translated really well into Americana and folk music.
Great. And your first record that came out in 2019 was called The Calm Before, which is a really interesting title considering your second album, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But I'd like to just hear a little bit about your first record and how that's kind of impacted you over the last 5 or 6 years since it came out in terms of your career.
Yeah, man. It was a scary time for me in the sense, you know, it was my first record. It was my first year doing music full time. And what most people do is they kind of do singles and EPs starting out, but I did the bold thing of like, I'm going to record an album. And I headed out to Ladysmith in the Clankaroo to record with a good friend of mine, Joe Ellis. I think I was 23 at that time, maybe 24. And, you know, this was my first time also like driving long distance. So that was scary for me. It's my first time being in a studio. Well, not the first time being in the studio, but, you know, for my own work, not sessioning with someone else. And there was this kind of sense that things were going to change after this. And I think that is where the title came from, The Calm Before. And it is also kind of more my old style. These were songs that I wrote from 2016 onwards, when I was starting to experiment with songwriting and writing my own tunes. And yeah, so I think that's where kind of the title of the album came from.
Great. And the new record, which was also recorded in Ladysmith with Joe Ellis, is an incredible album. The genres are mixed in there. I mean, there's definitely Americana and blues and rock, but I can pick up some country and some really groovy stuff in there as well. So, so much to talk about with this new record. Where to start? Where to start? Why don't you tell us a little bit more about how the new record, These Fears Are Not Our Fears, came together?
Yeah, so I think the big thing with the new record was after the first album, I was like performing and touring and stuff for 5 years with the band. And the more you perform, you learn a lot and you get all kinds of cool ideas. And I think the thing I really wanted to do with These Fears Are Not Our Fears was really incorporating everything I learned from touring and so on. That's why it kind of has a lot more of a stadium rock. Not that I played stadiums or anything, but just it has more of a kind of a live sound and is more genuine to things that me and the band do live. Yeah, I think that was kind of the sonic inspiration for that. Also, a lot of other music that inspired me after the first album also worked its way into there.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear more about your influences because I can hear so many of them coming through in the album when I was listening to this new record. But let's talk about the first track on the album, Can't Stand to Break Your Heart, because this is a really big track on the album. And there's even a music video that you've got on YouTube. So this would be your big stadium rock track, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's been our favorite one to play live, and it gets like really good reception with people. And it was almost not the single. I was first skeptical about it, but my band convinced me. They were like, no, this is the one. This should definitely be the first single off of the album, and it should be the first track on the album. And they were right. I was wrong.
Well, I think this is a good time to talk about the lap steel guitar, which is a big feature in your music. In fact, you mentioned to me before we started the interview that you own about four different kinds of lap steels, and one of them certainly, well, at least one of them appears in this song. So, so tell me more about the lap steel guitar in this song in particular.
Yeah, so on this song, I am playing an instrument that's called a Weissenborn. So you get different kinds of lap steel guitars. You get square neck resonators, electric lap steels, and then, of course, the Weissenborn. I think Ben Harper made this instrument a lot more popular. He's known for playing it. And it's kind of iconic through its chambered neck. So the neck of the guitar forms part of the chamber of the body. And yeah, it's kind of become my calling card. I've been playing it now since, I think, 2019. And this track is a great example of it being put through its paces.
Absolutely. So the folks should definitely go check out this music video. I believe it was filmed in Besson Loebsche's studio. So you can,
yeah,
you can see Hugo and his band having a great time there. I'd like to touch on a few of the other tracks. Let's look at A Matter of Heart, because that's actually a more chilled song where the drums are cutting through quite nicely in the mix and it's very emotive. So talk to me about how this track, along with others on the album, how they carry so much emotion in the music.
Yeah, man. So I think the real emotion in this track has to come from the drums. So another unique thing about this album that I did that I didn't do with the previous album was I actually wrote the drums. With the previous album, Chris and Joe kind of had a lot of input in the drum writing. I just kind of came with the songs as demos. We came in there and just worked them back from the bottom that way. So I really have to tip my hat to Chris with nailing the drums on this track. I really like writing drums that has a lot of character, and this kind of tom thing is what really gives the drive and the momentum to the song.
Beautiful, yeah. Chris really did a great job on that track. And of course, he played drums throughout the whole album. So his style is really coming through there nice and strong. I would say that the drums are an incredible addition to this album, really helped to fill things out and bring a lot of energy throughout the whole album.
Yeah, a lot of energy. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's look at a track called Glow, because this has got a really nice country feel, and you're bringing that sort of country Americana style into this album quite a lot, right?
Yeah, I think another genre that I started experimenting a lot in, and it's mostly due to after the first album, I started playing pedal steel guitar. And I also started playing and sessioning with another band called The Betsies, who's a sister duo act that do classic bluegrass and country music. And they're some of the best in this country, honestly, and they're amazing songwriters. And working with them, I really had to work on my country chops and stuff. And the best way to do that is, of course, just to listen to country music. So this was another kind of passion that I discovered along the way that I wanted to work in there with a bit of my own twist. I'd say this kind of has like Gregory Allen, Isakoff feel to it for me.
All right. Yeah, I'm glad that you're mentioning your influences because, gosh, you must listen to so much music. I can hear all of that coming through. In fact, maybe now's a good time to just run through some of your big influences on this album.
Yeah, of course, man. When it comes to lap steel, my biggest influences is definitely a guy called Jeff Lang. He's an Australian-based blues songwriter, and he's a wizard on the lap steel guitar. In fact, he's the guy that inspired me to take it up in the first place. And if you know Jeff, you'll also know that he kind of collaborated with Chris Whiteley, a very famous, kind of a cult classic in America, kind of the Americana blues scene. He had a very unique style to him. He was more of a slide player. And then also, I have to admit, on this album, there's a great deal of John Butler sneaking through, especially his album Flesh and Blood, which is my absolute favorite of his. So I think that those are three staples definitely coming through there. There's a bit of other things in there as well that I can definitely say. Like, I think I channeled a bit more Black Keys. And as I previously mentioned, Gregory Alan Isaacoff for the more subtle, nuanced songs and so on.
Cool. Yeah, it's interesting when you listen to music as a fan, like in my case, right? And I listen to one of your tracks like Crossfire. And then I'm thinking, wow, this is so awesome because it kind of reminds me of someone in a good sense, right? But my brain's trying to think of who am I thinking of, right?
Because
The first guy that comes to mind would be Bruce Springsteen. And then I'm thinking, but is that accurate? But that's what's coming to mind. But let's talk about Crossfire because, once again, very emotive. The piano's featured there. The track's got strong vocals. Another real banger of a track, right?
Yeah, thanks, man. It's actually really funny that you say Bruce Springsteen. You're actually the second guy in the interview that made that connection. And I find it interesting. I do dig Bruce. Nebraska is like my favorite album of his. Like, that's always stuck with me throughout the years. But I don't know. Yeah, that's an interesting connection. And yeah, it's the first album that I kind of did on the piano with something that I kind of hoped of doing more. I've always had this idea, you know, at some venues, there is an upright piano and it would be cool if we had a track that we can do like that. I kind of like the romance of like putting down the guitar and for a nice, intimate, groovy song, just kind of turn towards the piano. But the weird thing for me is the song was actually for me more channeling Freshly Ground, more local acts in this one. For me personally, like, it evoked those memories for me.
Awesome. Well, that's why it's interesting to find out, right? Because there's so many artists out there and everyone influences us over many years and it's all in our subconscious, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, you kind of just absorb these type of things, you know, like I read a lot of books on music, on writing, composition and music cognition and stuff. And there is kind of a golden thread throughout all of them that just says, like, listen to a lot of music as much as you can. And it's in your nature to absorb them. It's like a language. You kind of build up this lexicon and just naturally learn to incorporate it in your everyday life.
Yeah, you can definitely hear that approach coming through on this record. As I mentioned earlier, so many different genres and every song is so unique. So if we look at another one, Slip Away, this is now a big, punchy, bold track with a lot of high energy, right?
Yeah. I think this was actually the last song I wrote on the album. It was the last one to finish. And when I finished it, I was like, okay, cool. Let's book studio time and get this thing on the roll. I'm definitely channeling a lot of John Butler in that track. Like, that kind of very drony, like, the whole song just has this low D running throughout and me kind of wailing on it throughout the track. Yeah, definitely a heavy John Butler influence there.
Absolutely. And then there's another track which you have a lyric video for on your YouTube site. So folks, definitely go check out the YouTube channel for Hugo. He's got some great videos there. And this track is called Skin and Bones, which once again is very groovy. Kind of reminds me of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers album Mojo, when they did a lot of groovy stuff, nice and chilled. So tell me more about that one.
Yeah, for me there, I think that was like the big Black Keys track that I was kind of channeling there. So if you look on YouTube and everything and Instagram, like every Friday I have this little fun video that I put together that I call 8 Bar Fridays, which is just like a great little exercise for me to churn out something and experiment. It's almost like a idea log. And this was one of them, actually. So it was just this kind of G minor vamp that I was playing around with. And yeah, I always felt that there was kind of a potential there. And also the lyrics came very naturally. And yeah, that's how the ball got rolling.
Awesome. And then a really big track on the album is called Chasing Shadows in the Dark. So when this one comes up, there's something about this track that is really special to me. Or should I say, I can understand why the album title comes from this track. So I would say this is one of my personal favorites on the album. A very memorable song, perhaps, is a good way to articulate it.
Oh, thanks, man.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the song and a little bit more about the name of the album, These Fears Are Not Our Fears?
Yeah, so you're correct that this is where the title comes from. So at first, it was really weird for me. The lyrics just came to me when I was writing the bridge. Like, you see, these fears are not our fears. And I was like, well, that's a weird one. Like, and often I would only find like the meaning for a track or something afterwards. And as I pondered about it a lot more, and as I was fleshing out the lyrics of that track specifically, I think it just deals with around about the time that I was developing the album was after 2020. And the overwhelming anxiety that you feel and like the kind of pervasiveness of consuming media, reading the news and everything. You know, I would sometimes find myself in a borderline paranoia almost. Like I'm sitting in my living room and it's like, it feels like the world is ending tonight type of thing. And I realized I'm just consuming all of these fears, like these often legitimate fears, like from all over the world, from every bloody corner. And I decided I have fears too, and I have ones that are more pressing to my life, that are important to me, that I need to tackle. So I think it's just kind of dealing with that type of thing of distinguishing what fears are important in your life and that you want to tackle, because some fears are not your fears type of thing, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and a very interesting concept for that track. And the last track on your album is called River Run Dry. And this is a really groovy track, also quite an exciting, bold song, right?
Yeah, this track is kind of, yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm definitely channeling more Jeff Lang here. And what Jeff does, he has a lot of like Aboriginal rock influences from Australia. And he also has a background playing East Indian traditional music. So he kind of has this world music influence in there. And I'm also a big fan of Ali Farka Torre's stuff, especially his collaborations with Rai Kudu. And I think that's kind of what I'm channeling here. So it kind of has this, a bit of a world music thing going on in it. But the story behind the song is I was at a music festival. I think it was up the creek. And I kind of had this panic attack. And anyone that has had that experience will know you kind of, it feels, yeah, it's like this very pressing feeling and everything feels a bit haywire. And I found a secluded corner and I was kind of sitting there thinking I'm dying. And, you know, it feels like the world's about to end. And there was this little grace period that I was just like, okay, so it's ending now, but like, this is a great place for it to happen. Because, you know, we're at a music festival, I'm surrounded by the thing that I love. And I think that's where the inspiration for the lyric comes from, like, how long until the river runs dry? And come on, baby, let's move our feet and dance and that type of thing. Rage at the dying of the light type of thing. So, yeah, there's a bit of humor in there.
Yeah, and I guess the story of that song, as you mentioned, talking about panic attacks and so forth, also ties into the theme of these fears are not our fears, right? Dealing with
precisely,
anxieties,
yeah.
Dealing with these challenges. Yes. Okay, well, let's turn our attention to an area where you're very confident and I'm sure the anxiety levels go down. And that would be your gear, right? The gear that you use. You've done a video on YouTube recently called Rig Rundown, where you take a walkthrough of all of your gear, and it's an amazing video. I encourage everyone listening to go and check it out because it's very detailed. But maybe you could just run me through the basics of some of the instruments that you use and what that video is all about.
Yeah, man. So guitar nerds always geek out about gear and stuff. So I made that video just to answer some common questions. but I kind of just talk about like all the guitars that I use. Well, mostly that I use at shows, like my acoustic and my lap steel and my Diamond Series Schecter, which is an odd one. You don't see that one floating around a lot. But yeah, so the unique thing about my setup is I get an electric guitar sound running in parallel with the acoustic guitar. And I kind of blend them together to get a bigger sound out of the acoustic guitar. Because on a dime, I can go into a very hard rock vamp and then strip down to a very intimate folk country type of finger picking thing. So I kind of had to develop this thing to really make the acoustic stand out within the band setting and also be able to be very dynamic on a big stage, kind of make up for that lost space.
Great. Yeah, I love the sound of your Schecter Diamond Series electric guitar, which is featured in this video. It's got a beautiful tone, as well as the Fender Paramount Dreadnought Acoustic, which also sounds beautiful. And I'm a big Dreadnought Acoustic fan. So you're definitely getting those guitars to ring beautifully, mm-hmm. both on the albums and live, right?
Yeah. I need to give a shout out to Joe there. A big reason why I like working with Joe is just, I remember listening to a recording that he did before I started working with him, and I fell in love with how he records a acoustic guitar, because I knew that the big challenge was going to be like, this thing needs to stand out in a very busy mix. And Joe just is a wizard, and he has a way of doing that where it doesn't feel like the acoustic is just like this rhythm thing in the background. It's actually at the epicenter of the tone.
Yeah, Joe's done a really great job producing this record, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do on your next album, right?
Yeah, man.
Awesome. Okay. And I'd like to touch on some of your collab projects that you're working on at the moment. I know that you did release a single with Daniel Arena, who is a musician from Brazil that you met online because of your shared love for the Weissenborn lap steel. So maybe you can tell me a bit about that single and then some of the other projects that you have coming up.
Yeah, so I literally met Daniel through just the hashtag Weissenborn community on Instagram. Like, we all keep tabs on each other. We all know all the other Weissenborn players out there. And he reached out to me and I listened to his music. And one day he just kind of took a chance and said like, hey, would you like to collaborate with me on this song? And this was actually Burning River, like back in 2022, I think. And then a couple of years on, he reached out to me and he's like, hey, I'm thinking of maybe heading out to South Africa. We should maybe do a tour and a couple of shows that side. Yeah, so I started organizing events and venues and stuff. And we had 3 days off. And I told him, how about I actually drive him out to the Klein Karoo, to Ladysmith, and we record Madeline, which is a song that he's been working on that we kind of fleshed out in the studio. So, yeah, it was just like a magical 2 weeks that Daniel was this side. He's a lacquer oak. Yeah, and I hope to head out to Brazil sometime and then, yeah, we do the same thing there.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check out his music. And it's so cool how you can collaborate with musicians on the internet these days. It's a very cool way to not only stretch yourself musically, but also grow your fan base, right? Because you're connecting with other musicians and they're learning about you from other parts of the world. So yeah, I look forward to seeing who else you collaborate with in the future. And you said you had some new projects coming up as well?
Yeah. So a big thing that I started doing, there was a goal for me this year, was actually collaborating with other artists and stuff. And the ball kind of started rolling with Daniel. And I've been working with the Betsies, as I said earlier. And I'm also planning on doing some things with Luna Page, who's an amazing singer-songwriter here from South Africa. She's one of my favorite female frontmen. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to working with her. We've got a couple of dates lined up and we've been working on some things together. But nothing official yet, but yeah, I'll keep you posted on that. And yeah, I'm also been doing a lot of pedal steel work with some very cool acts in South Africa, such as Yellow House, who has a new album coming out, I think now in August. I did a couple of tracks with them and I'm really excited for that. And also I'm doing all kinds of pedal steel session work with other artists also from overseas and so on. So yeah, collaboration and working with other musicians is something I really wanted to be channeling this year.
Awesome. So lots to look forward to in the world of Hugo Feltzman. Yeah, I'm looking forward to catching you live at a show, and I'm going to be digging even deeper into your latest record, These Fears Are Not Our Fears, now that I know even more about the songwriting process and the stories behind all of the songs. So Hugo, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. I encourage the listeners to go check out your music. And of course, you're on all the different social media platforms. So check Hugo out there too. Do you have any final words for the fans?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Tim. And yeah, I hope to see you at a gig. And yeah, consume local music and never stop consuming music.
There you have it, folks. The one and only Hugo Feltzman. Check out his latest record, These Fears Are Not Our Fears. Thanks once again, Hugo, and have a fantastic day.
No, thank you, man. Cheers.